Well, it's good to see you all this morning, and thank you for being a part of the service. For those of you who are new here, this summer we've actually been sitting with the scripture in the New Testament, Jesus's parables. We've been spending the whole summer just one Sunday after another unpacking the different parables, and as you've heard now this morning, the parable that Jamie read for us, the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge. So it's been a really wonderful summer for us to unpack this and to take some time to really just sit with scripture, and I hope it's a blessing to you as well today. Let me pray for us, and then we will dig in. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the rich service that we've already experienced, honoring just dear sister and brother and their family, the Nosworthies. We thank you for what they represent, the many, many people who have served in such a way so deeply in this community. We thank you, Father, for the shoulders of those people that we stand on. And we thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church and what you are calling us to continue to do. And I want to pray, Father, that even this morning, as we stand on the side of this hill and sit together in the beauty of the gift of this land, that you would give us your spirit, that we would hear from you, God, that our minds would be dialed into the way that you're unpacking your truths in our lives. Thank you for our kids. We're so glad that they're here today. I pray that you would bless them. And Father, we love you. Now speak to us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So this past week, I had the great honor of officiating a wedding on Tuesday of all days, right? I think it's the first time I've ever officiated a wedding on a Tuesday. But Marie and I were invited to officiate this wedding for two dear friends of mine. And so it was up in Duluth. So about the time that it was turning like 93 or 4 degrees here in the Twin Cities, we were at Pier B Resort, which happens to be right on Lake Superior. And I mean, it was like a high of 72. It was beautiful weather for a wedding. And as we prepared, as I went through all the pomp and circumstance and put the liturgy together, I couldn't help but notice all the wonderful, permanent, and persistent language that is in wedding liturgy. And you know what I'm talking about. We've all heard it before. We've all heard the different things that talk about the significance of the vows and the declaration of consent. So, for example, when I asked the couple the declaration of consent, which is the part that they say, I do to, it uses very important words like this. Do you commit yourself to this person? And do you give yourself to this person? And do you invite them fully into your being? It uses permanent words to which they say, then, I do. And you hear it in the vows. It says, they say, I take you to be my wife or my husband, a very permanent and persistent language. It says, I promise to be your faithful wife and husband. And then, of course, through all the different situations in plenty and want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and health, and so on and so forth. And what we hear in the wedding service, in the wedding liturgy, is a commitment to persistence, a commitment to faithfulness, and frankly, a commitment to never give up. It is powerful what we celebrate at a wedding. Now, this phrase, never give up, is dripping with persistence. And in that, the wedding liturgy has a lot in common with the parable that Jamie read just a minute ago. Jesus tells this story of his disciples of what it looks like to be persistent in prayer, to never give up in prayer. And he has his reasons that I actually think are very important for us today, living in 2023. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, as Jamie read just a minute ago, let me just remind you about some of the parts of the text. It says in verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. And this first verse in chapter 18 names a very important point about us, and here it is. Humans are created with a spiritual instinct. Humans are created with a spiritual instinct. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says this, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. So prayer often comes naturally to us because it's built in, hardwired into who we are. Yet there are obstacles that we deal with all the time in our lives. These are walls that are difficult for us to get around. And Jesus knew that we needed to be encouraged and even taught how to pray. And Jesus did not necessarily mean that we should always be on our knees praying. That's a great position to be in, a great disposition to follow. But that's not necessarily what Jesus was talking about here. He was talking about, he was calling us to be in a spirit of prayer. Similar to when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. That there's something deeply significant that happens in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls when we're in a spirit of prayer. And so Jesus uses this phrase that I absolutely love. He says, do not give up. In some of your Bibles, you might even see it say, do not lose heart. And often we fail in praying because we give up or we lose heart and we become discouraged when our prayers aren't answered. At least that's been my story on a number of occasions. And it's easy to lose heart in prayer because prayer is hard work. It's too often that we approach prayer too lightly. And part of the reason for this is because we are always not convinced of the power of prayer. Too often, prayer becomes the last resort in our lives rather than the first resource. But it's important to remember that Jesus lived a prayerful life. Prayer was vital to Jesus Christ, and therefore it needs to be vital in our lives as well. And to help his disciples get this, he actually teaches them this parable then about this unjust judge and the persistent widow. Now, there are a lot of angles that we could talk about with this text today. There's a lot of themes that this one little parable actually mentions. There's a theme of the end times. It says, Jesus says, when I return, and he goes on to talk about looking for the faithfulness in his followers. He also talks about how the unjust judge, the widow, was looking for justice from him. And certainly justice is an important conversation. But what I want to focus on today is this idea of persistence, because I think it's what we need to hear as we consider our prayer lives. And there's a few things about the text that I want to point out before we get to this application. First of all, we meet this judge who apparently didn't fear God and he didn't fear man. And the only reason that he gave in to this widow was because of her persistence. She nagged him. She bugged him. She went after him. And it's important to note a couple things about the widow and the judge. Of course, the judge holds a ton of power. As in our culture, back in first century, a judge would have held all the power and the widow would have had none. In fact, this widow would have represented a very powerless existence by circumstances that she could not control. Oftentimes in first century, widows were not taken care of or given any authority at all, which is one of the reasons why Jesus talked about caring for the widow so much. But I love that the woman persisted, that she didn't give up just because of the power dynamic and the cultural dynamic that surrounded her. Now, here is the important point about the parable. And in fact, let me just take you back before I go on to our last outdoor service. When we actually set the parable series up, we said that in every parable that Jesus told, there's some sort of hidden truth within. And our goal is to understand why Luke or whoever the author was wrote this, what the audience was like that he was writing to, and what the hidden truth behind Jesus' words were. And there's an important point in this parable. The hidden truth is within. Jesus did not give us this parable to say that God was like the unjust judge, but instead, unlike the unjust judge. In fact, we see in other places in Scripture, and we've even experienced in our own lives, the way that God delights in answering prayer. God is on your side when you pray. He's not against you. The message of this parable is not that we should bug God until he gives in, like this little gnat that's bugging me right now. That's not the way to have a relationship with a loving father. To understand this parable is to understand that the unjust judge is the opposite of God. The woman had to overcome the judge's reluctance to help. We know that in the story. And we might often feel like that's our story too, and we pray we don't get the answer maybe that we wanted. And we oftentimes think that our persistence needs to be because of God's reluctance. But this misses the point of the parable entirely. Jesus did not say that the disciples should always pray and not lose heart because God is reluctant, but because he isn't. God is eager to answer our prayers, and that is our encouragement to pray. Sometimes it may seem to us that God is reluctant to answer our prayers, yet, listen to this, persistent prayer is not needed to change the heart of God, but rather to change our hearts, to change our disposition, to change our mindset. Why do we give up praying when Jesus has gone out of his way throughout Scripture to encourage us to pray, but especially in this text, to never give up? We know that God's promises are attached to a disposition of prayer. So why do we give up? I think there's actually two reasons why we at times stop praying for things over time. And the first one is this. The first reason why I think we give up praying is, number one, because our perspective is limited. I think our perspective is at times limited. We've said it before, and let's say it again. We don't always see what God sees. There are those of you who know what it's like to want something, to pray for something, to dream of something. You've got a vision that God has given you, something that's on your heart that you're praying for. You might even say, I know this is what God wants me to be praying for, a vision that's out there, a goal that you've set. You say, I believe this is where God wants me, but all you can see is that which is keeping you from that promise. Let me highlight something you already know, and I'm going to say this a couple times because I think it's important. It's just something maybe we need to be reminded of. God is the only one who can speak in the past tense before a present reality. God is the only one who can speak in the past tense before a present reality. In other words, he's the only one who can tell you what is when what is isn't yet. And I wonder how, or if some of you might be in a situation like that in your own life, where what he says about you is different than how you feel about you. What he says about you is different than how you think about you. Maybe you've been praying for healing. And maybe God might say that you're healed, but you still feel broken. Maybe God might say that you're blessed, but you feel like God may be forgotten you. Why is that? Because our perspective can oftentimes be limited. The other part of this, of course, is that God knows what's best in the answer to our prayers, and we may not. I know that's been true in my life a lot. We talked about this at length at other times this year. Often, a delayed answer to prayer means that our faith has the opportunity to grow, that our hearts mature and are formed more into the image of a faithful follower of Christ, less swayed back and forth by the winds of life. Sometimes a delayed answer to prayer is just what we need to grow, even though the journey might be filled with adversity. It's kind of like the story about an American politician in the 19th century that you may have heard of before. In 1832, a long time ago, this politician lost his job and ran for the state legislature, but was defeated. In 1833, a year later, he was defeated in business. A couple years later after that, in 1835, the woman he loved died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. By 1838, he was a state legislator, but was defeated for Speaker of the House in the state. In 1843, he was defeated for nomination to the U.S. Congress. And in 1846, he was elected to Congress, but then lost the renomination in 1848. He was defeated in a run for the Senate in 1854 and defeated for nomination for vice president in 1856. And then in 1860, he was elected president. And this was, of course, Abraham Lincoln, who went on to do amazing things, historical things that will never be forgotten. Many, many, many defeats, and yet persistence. That was the lesson. Jesus is teaching us a lesson about persistence in this parable, particularly in regard to prayer. He's teaching us that there is power in being persistent. The reality is that our perspective on eternal things is oftentimes limited, and it can cause us to give up. And that's reason number one. The second reason people often give up praying, the reason they give up being persistent, is because our progress isn't always obvious. Our progress, our growth, our forward momentum isn't always obvious. Let's be honest. If we pray for something, anything, even a small thing, incremental change might happen when we pray about the thing that we're praying for. It might happen. It might start to get better. And it's easy in those moments to keep praying, right? This is human nature. If you believe, if you see some progress, you can endure the pain because you see the faithfulness of God happening. Maybe you have a strained relationship. You begin to pray for it, and you start to see some change, some small change, so you keep on praying. God, make it better. Or maybe you're praying to overcome an addiction, something that has plagued you for years, and maybe God brings somebody into your life to hold you more accountable, or maybe you start to show some better self-control. So you keep praying because you're seeing incremental growth and change. It's easy in those situations to keep praying. But what about the situation that you've been praying for where you see no progress at all? What is that situation like for you? I've heard of faithful mothers who have prayed for their children for decades with absolutely no change. I've heard of faithful spouses who have prayed for years and years for God to save their marriage, and they've seen little change. It is so much easier to honor God. It's so much easier to do what's right. It's so much easier to stay the course and not give up when you feel like prayer is working, like things are changing. In other words, you can take the pain when you know God is still working, when there's a payoff. But where is God when we don't see him? Maybe God is just building our faith. Maybe he's teaching us to depend on him in a way that we never thought possible. Maybe he's building our faith, our foundation, better than ever before. And what I've discovered is that God often does something in us before he does something for us. This has been true in my life countless times, that God has to work in me before he gives me the thing that I've been praying for. And when we find ourselves in situations where it's easy to give up, I found that whenever you're tempted to quit, it's always good to remember why you started praying in the first place. Why'd you start praying for that grandson of yours? Why'd you start praying for your spouse? Why'd you start praying for financial freedom? Why did you start praying to overcome some sort of addiction? Why did you start praying for this church? Let's remember the reason that we were called to. And I want to say this to you, those who have been faithful for a long time. You've been trusting God, you've been praying, you've been believing, and you're still not seeing the promise. I want to tell you that you actually might be closer than you think. You might be closer than you think. There's a story of a woman named Florence Chadwick. Anybody ever heard of her before? Florence Chadwick? I bet you have. She's the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways, which was an incredible accomplishment. In 1952, Chadwick decided to attempt the 26-mile swim between the California coastline and Catalina Island, which I've never been to. I've seen it, never been to. But she wanted to do this 26-mile swim between coastline, and 15 hours into this grueling swim, a very heavy fog settled in, and she lost her bearing. 15 hours in, this fog descended, she lost her bearing. She couldn't see the beach. She couldn't see land. She could barely see the boat. She was confused. She was exhausted. She was discouraged. She wanted to get into the safety boat. But they kept shouting, "Keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming." She couldn't take it anymore. And she threw in the towel and she quit. And it wasn't until she got into that boat that and finally could hear everybody that she realized that the shore was literally only a half a mile away. She was a half a mile from her destination. And I tell you this story because I don't know who needs to hear this here today, but you may be closer than you think with God answering your prayer. Do not give up. We give up because sometimes our perspective is limited. And we give up sometimes because our progress isn't always obvious. Friends, hear me say this today and hear the parable challenging us all with these words. Do not give up. Don't ever give up. Keep praying. Be persistent. Be faithful. Let God work in you through the lean years, and let God do great things through you in the abundant years. An answer is coming. And let God work in you through your life in this entire season. The persistence that we are called to is not a persistence for a short season, but what Jesus is calling us to is a persistence towards long-term goals, a spirit of prayer that digs in, that locks in, that is faithful over time. We're not talking about persistence just for a semester or for some weeks, but we're talking about the kind of persistence in prayer that may be like that which is required to raise a child. We're talking about the kind of persistence that it takes to serve Jesus when you're dealing with a chronic illness. We're talking about showing back up when it's easier to walk away. We're talking about the kind of persistence it takes to say yes to committing to the church chair role of a small, beautiful congregation in 2018, and then deal with something catastrophic like a global pandemic. Massive leadership change, but staying persistent to the call of Christ, seeing ahead what only God can do. And let's not forget, there is massive, massive growth in the season in which we are called to persistence. Don't lose this. You may have set your sights on something different in the future, maybe a better reality. Maybe God has called you something great, and hopefully that is the case. But it is in that season of waiting and persistence that God does amazing things. It almost might seem mundane, the ordinary time, as the church calls it. But my goodness, God does beautiful things in those years. Never forget that God is always moving, and we are called to not give up. You know, the last thing I'll say is thank you, God, that he didn't give up on us, right? The empty tomb, the rugged cross, the persistence that he's always coming after us. He never gave up on us. Let's not give up on him. Let's do this in our individual lives, and let's do this as a congregation. When we pray, let us focus on the call of Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for this moment when we get to celebrate who you've called us to be. And I want to thank you for the seasons in our lives, and each of us has a story when we've prayed for something and we haven't immediately seen you answer a prayer. God, some of us are praying for something. We've been praying for something for decades, and we're still waiting for that prayer to be answered. And I just want to say thank you for that time. Thank you for what it's taught me, the different friends I've prayed for to find and follow Jesus. I've never seen the fruit. Thank you for the way that I've had to stay consistent to your calling to love them, to care for them, to be present and available to them. Father, there's other things that we've been praying for, Father, that we haven't seen the answer, and maybe it's been damaging to our faith. Maybe it's made us angry. Maybe there's been seasons of frustration. Father, I just want to ask that you would give us the ability today to lay that at your feet and to hear again your call to pray. And I pray, Father, that you would hear our prayers, that in your time you would answer them, and that you would call us to faithfulness. And I want to say again, Lord, thank you so much for Megan, for Chris, and the incredible example that they have been for this church and to all of us individually of what it looks like to be persistent, to never give up. What an example and what a framework you have set for this church. God, would you guide us individually, and would you guide us as a church, and may in everything that we do bring the name of Jesus glory. It is all about you, God. So we pray these things again in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.